But let's not talk about that too much. 55 degrees. It's just one of those days. But you know what? Since the Tigers did so well, we wanted to be able to do our best to see if we can outdo them. So to help me doing that, Congressman Fred Upton has stopped by. Fred, welcome.
Hey, it's good to be back. I'm glad it didn't go extra innings. We gave them 5 runs, you know, the Orioles, and we swept them. That's not bad. So everybody's happy.
So, well, you know, and they're doing well. It's a good year for the Tigers.
It's a great year. It's a great year. I was at Rotary. There was a couple of happy bucks put in the bucket today in Portage for the wins that they've made. And, you know, they're the best team not only in the American League but in the major leagues too.
Yeah, doing pretty well. And
October's coming.
There it is.
Of course, it feels like October now, right?
it seems like it's going back to that. But they're telling me that warmer weather is next week.
Yep, I hear it.
Perfect timing. You're going back to Washington.
Yeah, that's right. We're back in session. But, you know, it's exciting for around here. They're doing the senior PGA over in the Twin Cities at the Harbor Shores Golf Club. So I'm a volunteer. My wife and I are volunteers. And it's going to be a lot of fun. They got Tom Miller, and they got Jay Haas, and they got Fred Couples. They got a good list of folks.
Nice field.
Celebs.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. And it must be nice, you know, with everything that's gone on in Washington, all the different things we've heard about, it's got to be great to be home.
It is. So this week we're out of session, which is, you know, so I'm doing schools, plant tours, service clubs, whole host of things. Got a little meeting over in Pawpaw yet tonight, and tomorrow it's the big circle again, end up in Holland tomorrow. But it's good to be home. It's good to have winter sort of over.
Supposedly, yeah.
You always sort of remember events by what the weather is outside. But, you know, January, February, March, it was winter all 3 months long. But, you know, my folks are still alive. My dad's, in fact, we were talking before we got started. He was a World War II vet. He's 90, turned 90 last week. And, you know, they got a great honor flight leaving from Kalamazoo the end of this month. I'm going to meet with them when they come back. It's on a Saturday, so I'll be back here. But, yeah, this is a good place to be.
Oh, definitely. You know, we were talking about those honor flights. I love what those people do.
Oh,
giving the World War II vets an opportunity to go to Washington and see that monument. It's something I want to do myself. I haven't gotten an opportunity
to. You need to do that. Frankly, as we know, it should have been done in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. But I guess it was started in the late 90s. It was dedicated Memorial Day in 2001 by Bob Dole, and it's really very inspirational. Mm. It's open. You know, that was the thing when they had the government shutdown last year. I mean, they closed an open air, you know, I mean, just it's crazy.
That blew my mind when that happened. And I was so thankful to see that there were congressmen stepping up. There were World War II vets that were
going past the gates and
checking it out.
Yep. So. No one was going to arrest anybody doing that. But for a lot of these folks, and so the honor flight that's leaving from here, from Kalamazoo, I want to say it's the Saturday, the 31st of May. I'm going to see them when they come back to Wing Stadium that night. So it's a day trip. They leave in the morning, come back at night, see it. My staff, I know, is going to greet them while they're there. And for many of them, maybe all, it's the only time that they'll see it. So great thing to the greatest generation.
Oh, that greatest generation. I mean, I know, my wife's grandfathers, both of them, had served in World War II. They didn't talk about their service too much.
Yeah.
I mean, we found out when one of them passed away, this was just a couple of years ago, we actually found out more after he passed away that Purple Heart winner and all sorts of stuff. I mean, these are people that don't talk about it much, but the service they gave to this country is just second to none.
They did their job. Actually, my dad was in the Battle of the Bulge, and he did not talk about it until his kids took him to Saving Private Ryan. And that sort of got him to speak a little bit about it. And then after that, there's actually the Library of Congress set something up where people could actually videotape their parents, for me, or others, or, you know, brothers, whatever. And then they would document those stories. They're actually held now at the Library of Congress, and it'll be a tribute to that effort. All those, you know, they've collected tens of thousands of stories that they'll have forever. So I did that with my dad. I taped them and talked a lot about it and kept the copy for myself.
Fantastic. We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton in studio today. One of the things that, if I could kind of turn you to some of the things that are going on, they're talking about, there has been talk off and on about immigration reform. In your honest opinion, do you think anything is going to get done that way this year?
I do. I actually do. I'm an optimist by nature, okay? So I'm come to the realization that it's the Tigers, not the Cubs, this year. But let me just say that I do. First of all, it's a broken system. It needs to get fixed. Mm-hmm. It would be wrong to let it just fester. I did a Farm Bureau interview last night, and this was one of the topics, as you might have guessed. But I do think that we are going to take up real immigration reform. I think that it'll be bipartisan. It'll only pass if it is. Mm-hmm. It'll be different than the Senate bill, and that are the bills in the House, and I expect them to come up this summer. To come up individually, people will be able to read them. It won't be a 1,000-page bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll know what they are. A lot of different elements of it. Work is continuing on that. I saw just this week a couple things interesting on the Republican side of things. Is that the president of the National Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, said if Republicans don't do it this year, they might as well not field a candidate in 2016 for president. I think he said that on Monday this week. The head of the Tea Party Express, it's all over the internet today in one of the Politico or one of the political magazines says we need to do immigration reform. We need to have a system that works because, in fact, it is broken. So I think we're beginning to see the around the bend now on the at least on the Republican side. I've been an advocate for reform for a long, long time, and it needs to be. You know, we need to take care of the Dreamers. It's not an amnesty program. No one's going to go to ahead of the line. They're going to make sure that the taxes have been paid. There'll be a fine or a processing fee.
Sure.
You got to make sure that there's a background check. No one's got felony convictions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, frankly, so I'm driving home tonight, as I will, you know, from Pawpaw like I did last night. And, you know, I want that person on Red Arrow Highway coming at me. I want them to have a driver's license. And to have insurance, all right? Mm-hmm. They can't get that without some type of status here.
Sure.
I want people to, you know, be able to put money into a savings account or a checking account, not in a sock drawer. And I give credit to our local law officials here in Kalamazoo in particular, who at a big group that I was with, the Hispanic Council, said, hey, if you're a victim of a crime, we want you to report it because – who knows what that criminal is going to do, who they're going to hit next. Mm-hmm. And if you don't report it, you're not going to be safe in your own streets, let alone neither is your neighbor or somebody else. So we want you to come to us. We're not going to check your legal status. Our objective is to find the robber or the rapist, whoever it is, whatever the crime is, and we're going to need your help to do that. So, you know, let's face it. We have 11 million folks or more that are undocumented here. Let's figure it out. They're not going to go home. There's no, you know, we need to figure out a way so that we know who they are, what they're doing, that they're paying their taxes, and a host of things. And if they want to become a citizen, and the guess is about 40% of them do, they go to the end of the line, they learn English, they know, learn something about civics, and, you know, it's the normal process that's out there.
I think one of the things that's brought up about that really isn't brought up about this, you know, a lot of people when they say immigration reform, they're thinking about illegals, they're thinking about the Dreamers, they're thinking about – but what about in terms of the actual legal immigration process? I mean, the process is rather daunting if you look into it. Is that something that's on the table as well if we're talking about this?
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, so folks would – you know, there'll be – you know, the legislation hasn't been written yet, so you know, but it needs to happen because again, it's broken. I mean, we got our farmers. I mean, we got hundreds. Many of these operations have hundreds of people that are there. I mean, they left last year. They left millions of dollars of fruit and vegetables in the field because we didn't have the workers to get them. But I mean, you look at a lot of these construction projects. You know, coming up here today on 94. I mean. I don't know who's doing the – you know, a lot of construction is being done. And, you know, we're not finding, quote, you know, Americans willing to do some of that hard work.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding a lot of folks that do, but maybe they're not necessarily – so let's figure it out. Let's get people – let's figure out who they are. We want to make sure their taxes are paid. We want to they're here. They're not going to go back. So let's figure out the best thing that we can do. And no, that's not amnesty. Amnesty is, you know, all debts forgiven. You know, here's your citizenship papers and off you go. It's not what mm-hmm. this is – what we're calling for. And at the end of the day, again, I think it'll be bipartisan. I think that a majority of Republicans in the House – and a majority of Democrats in the House will vote for it. There will obviously be some that vote no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we'll be able to get it through the Senate and get it done this year and begin to work on other issues.
Okay. We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton. We're going to continue the discussion as we roll along here. Climate change has been in the news recently, so I'll ask you some questions about that as we continue. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence Show, 54 degrees on the outside, but I tell you what, I'm not going to mention it again. I promise. I won't tell you again that it's 54 degrees.
Is somebody important around here sometimes said, what is the word today? It's ick.
There you go.
Definitely.
That's the best way of putting it. So, now, one thing that I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, because there was a report that came out, last week? Where the White House was talking about climate change and saying, oh, what was it, in 30 years we were going to see some issues with that. I don't know where you stand personally on this. I guess they would call me a denier because I'm looking at this going, well, the science is not necessarily laid down. But I think there's also common sense things that can be done that aren't going to break the bank, so to speak.
Well, that's right. You know, my job, and I chair the Energy and Commerce Committee, as you know, is
mm-hmm.
what are the policy ramifications as it impacts the normal everyday life of people across the country, particularly as it relates to what I think is the most important issue that people will say, and that is jobs in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll remember that the Congress, before I was in the majority, passed this bill called Cap and Trade, and it was to deal with
mm-hmm.
Climate change, and what it was going to do was going to dramatically increase costs of energy, and it was going to, frankly, hurt the most vulnerable because they're most unable to pay for higher gas prices, mm-hmm. higher electric costs for a variety of different reasons. And Speaker Pelosi, she then enjoyed an 86-vote margin. She could lose 40 Democrats and often did on almost every issue.
Mm-hmm.
And cap and trade passed by 7 votes in the House. So if he'd switched 4 votes,
mm-hmm.
it would have gone down. But it was still so unpopular that the Senate, which was then 60-40 Democrat, remember,
mm-hmm.
60 votes is the magic number to get things done,
mm-hmm.
they could not take it up either. They didn't have the votes to get it done. There were a number of Democrats that said, we're not going to impose those additional burdens, taxes, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them, that's going to, you know, our economy is still struggling. Hey, we like where we are, where we're headed, but we're mm-hmm. not where we want to be yet. But I asked the administration to provide a number of witnesses in all the agencies and departments that have something to do with climate change to come testify before our committee last fall.
Mm-hmm.
13 different agencies, 11 said, no, thank you.
Hmm.
We're not coming. Declined to attend. Mm-hmm. So we ended up with the Secretary of Energy and the Administrator of the EPA. Those two did come.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was made, and we had a number of hearings over the last number of years, that whatever we might do here, and we've done a lot, by the way. You know,
mm-hmm.
We've actually reduced emissions in just about every area.
Mm-hmm.
Our refineries are cleaner than anywhere on the planet. We've done a number of energy conservation, we've done a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you know, the suggestions are. I've not looked at this report yet. It just came out last week. They, as you might imagine, the White House didn't share an advance copy.
Of course.
With me.
Yeah.
It was 800 pages. I'm not sure that I would have had time to read it by now. But anyway, but they confessed, in essence, that, you know, whatever additional taxes, burdens, costs that they were likely that they would like to do, they wouldn't affect the temperature by any measurable impact over the next number of decades.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know, because we heard testimony before, that China, India, they're building a new coal plant in China every week.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have nearly the controls that we have. I mean, it's so, you know, it there are things that we can do. We've passed a number of energy conservation measures in the House. We passed mm-hmm. some just last week in committee, bipartisan. Schools, buildings, apartments, that mm-hmm. type of thing is sort of a new energy standard. I wish the Senate could pass something. I saw last night on TV they passed a mate. So the former chairman of the Senate Energy Committee is a guy by the name of Ron Wyden. He moved because mm-hmm. he's now the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. So when he was chairman of the Senate Energy Committee, we met a number of times. And I've known him a long time. He used to be on our committee before he ran for the Senate. And Ron said, Fred, you know, this is something we can do, energy conservation. We got a bill that we're going to move over here. It's called mm-hmm. Shaheen Portman. Shaheen being a pretty liberal Democrat from New Hampshire, mm-hmm. Portman being a pretty conservative Republican from Ohio. But they've come together and they've got a good energy thing. Would you be interested if we can pass it over here of doing something similar in the House? We can get it done and we can take credit for it. And I said, mm-hmm. absolutely. So that'd be great. We've held up our end of the bargain. I think we've passed five or six energy bills now on the House mm-hmm. floor. Did another again a couple last week in committee. Shaheen Portman passed out of their committee last year. It still is nowhere in the Senate. Mm-hmm. In fact, didn't go anywhere. It got stopped. Senator Reid, your best friend. See, you know I listen to
mm-hmm.
you. Your best friend stopped it this week because he knew that a germane amendment – was the Keystone Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not want to see the Keystone Pipeline, even though it was a bipartisan effort
mm-hmm.
to put it on and it would pass. He did not want to put it on Shaheen Portman because he didn't want to get that bill down to the president mm-hmm. and force, I guess, the president into an uncomfortable position. But, you know, there are some things that we can do to help. I think all of us would support. In our frustration, quite frankly, is in the House, we passed a lot of bills. And the Senate has, you know, really not done much.
Speaking with Congressman Fred Upton, I do want to ask you one kind of uncomfortable question, if I may. One thing that I think over the years that you've seen, because it sounds like you're getting some things done in the House, Republican control and all of that stuff. But these kind of things, it doesn't seem like the media talks about these accomplishments so much. What do you think needs to be done to be able to get some more of these out? Because as I hear this, I think, wow, there's some things getting done, some stuff happening.
Yeah, actually, here. You know, and I should have brought this with me. I'll get it to you next week so you can talk about some of the things that we've done by the numbers, all right, by mm-hmm. the book. But, you know, I'm going to put on my political hat here for a second. So, yeah, there is a frustration from the House. We've done a number of things. I know that was the address this last week, the Republican response to the mm-hmm. president. I want to say, I didn't hear it because I was actually bicycling here in Kalamazoo with the two mayors, but I think they had like 8 or 10 Republican members of Congress. This is in the response to the president.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about bills that they had passed, that they had led in the House, that have gone nowhere in the Senate. Bipartisan. You know, our mm-hmm. energy bills. I don't even think we had a recorded vote on them. Or maybe we did, and like 12 people voted against it. I mean, mm-hmm. they're good things. So I do believe that this fall, the Republicans in the House, so you can again write this on the board and you can, you know, hold me to it, are going to pick up the 10 or 12 seats in the House. So we lost 8 seats 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to get up to about 245.
Right. Okay.
So right now we're 233.
Okay.
Out of 435 members. So a little bit, you know, we'll pick up those 8 or 10 seats. Mm-hmm. We'll take them back. And in the Senate, right now, Republicans are down 55-45. I do believe firmly that we're going to be at 51 or 52 seats for the Republicans in the Senate.
Mm.
Right? We're going to pick up net 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, When that occurs, we then do have to show that we can govern, that we can work together on a host of issues, whether it's fighting for a balanced budget amendment, you know, fiscal response. I mean, you name it. We have no excuse. And even though we won't have the 60 votes in the Senate, like, you know, they had under the first 2 years,
a few years ago,
the President Obama was in office. I think we'll have that. We'll be able to hopefully have a governing majority and really tee up these bills that make a lot of sense. And like Keystone, you know, Keystone in the House, gosh, we had 271 votes for it. A lot of Democrats voted for it. John Dingell from Michigan voted for the Keystone Pipeline the first time that it was up. You know, we can do that. And but if you get them stalled, like, you know, right now, this energy Shaheen Portman bill, then nothing happens. And that is, you're right, that is very frustrating.
And then the next step, obviously, is trying to bring the president to the table, which doesn't seem like it's always easy to do.
Well, you know, at some point, he's going to want a legacy.
And Other than Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly. Although he makes jokes about that now. But, you know, I mean, take Bill Clinton, going back 15 years here. Bill Clinton, it took him three times, but all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden he had a signing ceremony for a welfare reform. It, you know, he vetoed it the first two times, and literally it was the same bill, and then, come on down, you know, we'll sign this thing, give you a pen, and, you know, but it was done, and he took credit for it. And a lot of us, you know, would like to see a president that really can work with the Congress. You know, I worked for President Reagan way back when. He had a tough first election, that was for sure, but the proof was in the pudding when he had his reelection. He had a Democratic Congress, and he won 49 states. You do, I bet you do remember the one state he lost? I'm thinking it, so you got, you know,
Minnesota.
You're right. Yep.
And he was, what was it? It was like,
and it was close.
20,000 votes away from winning or
close.
Something like
he
that.
He actually went there the last weekend just to see if he could get all 50 states. But, you know, now Republicans, I mean, forget going to California, forget going to New York. I mean, you know, all these states that are so hardcore. But why did Reagan win those states? Because he showed he could work with the Congress and got things done. And his focus was on the economy and jobs.
Wow, that's what you have to focus on. I'm looking at the clock right now. I wish we had another hour or two to talk, but we are approaching 5 o'clock, and we got to run out of here. But Congressman Fred Upton, I'm glad that you stopped by today. We'll have to do this again real soon.
I look forward to it.
All right, we're going to get together tomorrow. Have a full program. We're going to talk about what you'd like to talk about. 3 o'clock tomorrow. Be sure you plan on it. Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on 590 WKZO.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.